Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, the weather is starting to look very spring-like around here. And with the weather beginning to warm, we are also beginning to see a lot of master gardener activities beginning to pick up as well. I know here in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking more in detail about the home show you guys are going to be involved in and an upcoming veggie workshop that is going to be pretty exciting. Get into more details as the weeks progress here on the program. But right now, we do want to focus on part of our landscape that has been mostly dormant lately, but I think we might be seeing it start to green up here, and that's our lawns.
Right, exactly. The most common lawn that we have in El Paso is the Bermuda grass lawn, and that is a warm season turf grass, and it does start warming up when the temperatures start reaching about 85 degrees, the air temperature. So a lot of greening up that you see right now can be different various forms of grasses or weeds that are starting to pop up in the lawn itself. So you want to make sure that you identify to see exactly what part is going to be your lawn and what part are little invasive weeds that are going to give you some trouble.
And, you know, in my lawn, I have seen, of course, it's a Bermuda lawn. And so there's a lot of brown with little splotches of green everywhere. But you will occasionally see these clumps that look like it's grass, but it's much, much greener than everything else around it. And that sort of gives me the idea that that is some sort of a weed.
Yeah.
And so that is what we would call a grassy weed. Right. Now, other parts of my lawn, if I were to walk around my lawn right now, the parts that look very, very bright green and contrast with everything else around it, that's a broadleaf weed. And usually if people see a lot of premature greening in their lawn, it more than likely is some sort of a weed.
Right, exactly. And those really dark, very dark green clumps of grass, there's going to be that maybe a form of crabgrass, if you will. But it's really kind of important because when we talk about these terms, grassy weeds or broadleaf weeds, we're trying to give people to give them a broad definition of what exactly they need to be able to use to control them. And it's, you know, you don't need to have a full botany lesson on anything on that to understand it. But a grassy weed is going to have leaves that look like a grass. If you hold up a blade of that weed to the sunlight and you start seeing all those veins going parallel or straight forward, almost like a corn leaf, you know, kind of think about that all in the parallel fashion, that's going to be a grassy weed. And if you hold up a leaf to another weed that's considered a broadleaf weed, it's going to have the larger leaf, maybe a main vein going right through it, and then a web or little arteries broad all throughout the entire leaf area. And that's going to be your broadleaf weed. And that's important to know, first of all, on how to control it, how to keep it, how to remove it.
And some of those broadleaf weeds are also easy to identify because they kind of have those jagged edges around the sides.
Right. Yes, exactly. They do have the jagged edges on there. The key is going to be the actual leaf pattern in the leaf area itself. And as you walk through the garden centers, you'll start seeing things, broadleaf killer, just a, you know, weed killer or weed be gone or, you know, grassy weed killer. So you need to know exactly what you're trying to get, so you can make sure to control it, because the last thing you want to do is harm or be detrimental to the lawn that is desirable.
Well, also, broadleaf weeds also tend to flower, right? So like the London rockets that we see normally during, I guess we're going to be seeing them here very soon.
Definitely.
And some of those mustard type weeds that I guess that we see growing in the winter time, those are broadleaf because we do see them tend to flower. Dandelions, also a very popular identifying type of weed.
Exactly. So you want to make sure that you remove those or only use a weed killer that's going to be for the broadleaf plants. A lot of those times too, you'll see that they do have a very complex root system too. So you want to make sure that you get them out of the grass as soon as you start seeing them. Once they start establishing, a lot of these plants will go from flower to seed very quickly. And the last thing you want to do is have them go to seed and then come back when the weather cools down again and have that entire cycle repeat itself. So get them out quickly. There's a lot of ways to be able to do that. The most important or the easiest way, I would say, is to identify it first and take it out. Smaller specimen, the better. quickly in and out. If you let them get established, there are some chemical controls that you can use. Remember our turf and our lawn, we don't eat it. So it's okay to put some chemicals if you need to get on there, but you can also get some concentrated glyphosate, which is a broad spectrum herbicide, and it's sold by a lot of different trade names out there. And you can essentially do a spot treatment in your turf area because your desirable grass, your Bermuda, is still going to be a little bit dormant right now, so you're not going to harm it. Now, you don't want to go out there and just spray it all over the lawn itself, but if you have a very, if you buy the premixed version that kind of comes in a little half gallon and you put the little nozzle attached to it, put it on the jet or the one that's going to be concentrated and get those little clump areas and they'll be taken care of. It won't be immediate, but it will take care of those
weeds. Yeah, some of those weeds are very, very hardy, so they may require a couple of treatments.
Right.
But you do want to be very careful where you spray because especially if it's like on a windy day, which we get occasionally here in El Paso, if you don't have it on that jet stream and you have it instead on sort of a broad spray pattern,
right,
you might end up accidentally getting that spray on your desired plant.
Yes, exactly. So no more than about 5 to 10 mile per hour winds is going to, you know, cancel out your herbicide spraying out there in your garden.
And I think it's also a good idea if you're one of those people who likes to hand pull their weeds, if they're at that point where you can hand pull your weeds, you don't want to just deposit them back in the yard because especially if, you know, if you are pulling out a grassy weed and it has already a seed head on there, right, you're just sort of distributing those seeds to create more. And also seeds, or rather weeds that go to seed very quickly, like for example spurge.
Right.
I think you just touch one and it automatically just sort of distributes seeds everywhere. Right. So you want to, you know, dispose of those properly, not just by tossing them back into your yard thinking that you're, you know, mulching your yard with
right,
natural materials.
Yeah, yeah. No, those guys need to be taken out and directly into your trash bin.
Yeah.
And get them out of your yard. But a lot of other common products that we do see in garden centers right now are a lot of weed and feed.
Yeah.
Bags, a lot of different programs out there that, you know, say, you know, feed your lawn and, you know,
and
weed it out
weed,
at
yeah,
the same time. And I have to say and advise using against those at all costs. Those are very, very common. People think that they're trying to do, you know, good by, you know, feeding their new lawn at the same time. And a lot of times, you know, what we have is, in, especially in backyard gardens, are people that have a mixed planting. So you have your grass and your lawn, and then very close to that, you're going to have a, you know, a tree or some kind of shrubs that, you know, you want to keep everybody healthy. A lot of times with those, the weed, quote unquote, components to those products are going to be detrimental to your trees and shrubs.
Because it's not going to discriminate what's
right,
in your yard.
Exactly. A lot of times it'll only kill the broadleaf weeds in there. So you have dandelions, great, but it's also going to get your oleanders or your other shade trees on there too, because, you know, the oleanders and mulberries are also broadleaf plants. And that's where it's going to get them. And we'll start seeing a lot of those herbicide damages coming up throughout the year. You'll start seeing it's a blanching of the leaves itself. It almost kind of like there's like no chlorophyll seems to be left into the leaves. And then really in extreme cases, you'll start getting browning of the margins of the leaves. So please stay away from the weed and feed products. If you're going to do the weed control, do that. And then we'll talk about lawn fertilization at a later time.
Yeah. Treat one, but not both.
Right.
And there are some great products out there for that as well. And there are a lot of pre-emergent herbicides also where you can actually treat the weed prior to it actually coming out of the yard. But again, you need to be very selective as to what kind of pre-emergent herbicide you're looking for. Is it going to be for a grassy weed or is it going to be for a broadleaf?
Right. And there's some products that are out there available for homeowners. Not a great selection, but really pre-emergents are going to be right when that seed is going to start swelling to start germinating. If you don't time that perfectly, then that product is going to be wasted. You're not going to effectively control the weeds. So it's kind of tricky as far as timing on that. So there's no reason to be able to, there's not a one-stop solution to be able to kill all of these weeds. It's just a continuous chore in your garden.
And again, I think a lot of people are also very aware more and more now as to limiting the chemical use in their yards, because a lot of those chemicals, if you don't use them as required mm-hmm. by the label, you are more than likely going to be flushing a lot of those chemicals into our groundwater. And, you know, maybe the groundwater treatment system may or may not be able to take those chemicals out. But, you know, we try to do what's best for the environment. And if you can, you know, hand pulling weeds while they're still small and before they get out of control is probably the optimal choice.
Right.
But if you do have to use any kind of herbicide, just make sure you use it as labeled.
Yeah, definitely. And with the technology nowadays, a lot of those chemicals are very easily bound. So they're not going to leach out through the soil. That's part of the technology where it becomes inactive, you know, once it hits the ground. So leaching is not necessarily a problem, but a lot of times is just storing chemicals at home. You want to make sure that, you know, your pets or your children, you know, are not going to be around them or get to them. And I mean, I don't know. I think most people kind of consider they don't want to store any kind of chemicals for a long-term use. So buy a smaller version of whatever you need. Use that up. But if you need something, then go ahead and go buy another set. I mean, don't think
of don't buy the
bulk.
Ginormous.
don't think about bulk because you have to look at the long-term effect on that. And that goes along with anything that you use, whether you're trying to kill weeds or you're trying to kill bugs and insects as the weather warms up. So it's always a good practice to only use the chemical controls at your last resort.
And the great thing about the city also is they have a lot of places for you to take, you know, some of your old chemicals to be disposed of. You don't want to be throwing them down the toilet or throwing them in the garbage. You can take them to some of our city sites to get taken care of.
And they're all over the city, 5 locations throughout the entire city. So make sure that you know which one's closer to you.
Well, we have a couple of minutes here. What else do we need to know about weed control in our lawns?
Well, the first thing to remember also is don't take out your lawnmower and think that I'm just going to mow it all down and start from scratch, because essentially what you're doing is you're, you know, redistributing all of those stems and other, you know, potential seeds all throughout your yard. So mowing is not the best way to keep a control of your weeds at all. Don't ever want to do that. And then certainly as the weather starts warming up and your Bermuda starts breaking dormancy, then we can start talking about, you know, giving them those long, deep irrigations to be able to get them nice and established. And if you have a nice and established, healthy lawn, that's going to naturally outcompete all of those weeds coming into the area.
And I know that you guys get a lot of questions. What is this weed? I have this picture of this weed. What is the weed? And again, like we were saying at the beginning of the show, all you really need to know is what kind of weed. Is it grassy or is it broadleaf? And that's pretty much all you need to know in order to be able to control it.
Yeah, definitely. That's a really great, if homeowners just knew exactly which weeds to go with, and they'd be in a good position for that. If you're really interested on a specific plant or a specific species, let's look at it and we can key that out. But for lawn controls, we know that we just got to know. Broadleaf or grassy.
That's right.
To try to give you the best control for those types of weeds.
And, you know, the nice thing is we've had some sort of wettish weather lately, which was like, it's a great time after that to pull out those weeds. So if we ever see a little bit more moisture in the region, you know, right after we get a little bit of rainfall, go out there and start yanking out those weeds, because it's the perfect time for that root to be nice and loose in the soil.
Exactly.
Well, if you have any questions about managing weeds in your landscape, why don't you give the Master Gardeners a call at the Texas AgriLife Extension. Their number is 771-2354, 771-2354. And I'm going to be posting a really helpful link on how to manage weeds on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org, along with the audio for this broadcast. So we want to thank you so much for listening today. We want to thank Evan Walsh for editing and producing the show for today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember that a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.